The following audio is from Harvest Fellowship. For more information about Harvest Fellowship, visit harvestabq.org.
I hope you're ready to go all in this year. 6-minute sermons is a blast, and this is our theme this year. I asked each of these to share along these words, all in. I want to introduce each of the speakers to you. I'm going to do them all at once. That way they can just pass the microphone. We've just found that this is kind of a fun way to do it. There will be a timer on the screen that they can see and you can see. And when it hits zero, if they go over even 1 second, we have a trap door right here and they just fall through the stage. I'm teasing. We're going to have fun. I've actually told them they can go over just slightly, but if it goes too far, I'm coming back. All right. But we're going to have a lot of fun. So you're going to hear first off from Pastor Tyler. Tyler and Natalie, you know them. They've been here as our youth pastors, and I call them our everything pastors because they do so many other things. But they've been here for about 3.5 years. They're doing amazing. He'll get a lot of extra cheers kind of from this side over here, I'm sure. But you're going to hear from Pastor Tyler. Then you'll hear from LaDawn Martinez, her and Nick. This is her cheering section right here. They've been a part of Harvest for 2.5 years. They lead our life groups, which actually will be kicking off very soon. You're going to love hearing from her. She's part of our hospitality team. And then her and Nick also provide life coaching. She provides it to a lot of our ladies. And then together they have invested in a lot of marriages and families. And I'm just so thankful for what they do as a part of the body of Christ. And then you're going to hear from Mitch Kennedy. And I am just hoping that I don't regret that decision to give Mitch the microphone today. Honestly, I love Mitch. He's a business owner, been incredibly faithful here at Harvest. As you just saw, he's enthusiastic. He's passionate. He's very, very expressive. He's a great friend and is always encouraging. He loves to camp, and his favorite fast food is Chipotle. And he likes long walks on the beach. Just kidding. This past year, Mitch came to me with a vision for our men, and I'm just incredibly grateful for his leadership. Many of you men have been attending the weekly Bible study that Mitch and Anthony are leading, and I believe that that's only the beginning for our men in 2020. We're going to see a lot of growth in our men and in our families. Then you'll hear from Anthony Carrillo. Anthony is a part of our worship team, and love Anthony and his family. Him and Jamie have the gift of hospitality, and they have opened their homes time after time for various harvest gatherings and meetings. They have a pool table in their living room, and we play a game that gets a little out of hand, but we haven't broken anything, I don't think, yet. And their love for Jesus is just contagious. You're going to love hearing from him. He did tell me this morning that his introduction is 6 minutes, so that's all you'll get to hear today is his introduction. And I want you to know that we believe at Harvest in the next generation. We've decided this year to hear from 2 of our Harvest youth because we believe in the next generation. So you are going to hear from Joseph Cedillo and Millie Espelin. Both of these students have expressed the call of God that is on their life. They have been a part of our youth camp and our called camp, and they're a part of fine arts. And last year they both did several categories in fine arts, but they both did short sermon. And I just love seeing how they are growing in their giftings and their callings. And you're going to hear from them today. And then finally, we're going to hear, last but not least, we're going to hear from Jerry Rotan. Jerry and his wife, Linda, are a part of our church now, which I'm so, so glad. Jerry's been in ministry for 50 years and brings so much experience, and I'm so excited. They recently retired from pastoring in a church in Arizona, came home to New Mexico. I don't know how we wrangled them into being a part of Harvest, but we did. And they're going to be joining our team this year and helping us in a couple of ways specifically. One is in the area of pastoral care, and then the other, which our seniors will be very, very excited excited, not our high school seniors, but our senior adults, is they are going to be pastoring our senior adults, which is an answer to prayer. And I'm so excited. And thank you for being a part of our family. So you're going to hear from Jerry. It's a good lineup. You're going to have a ton of fun this morning. So let's do this. And Pastor Tyler's going to come. Let's pray. 30 seconds. That's all it takes. Will you open your hearts today? One of these, if not more, of these speakers, God is going to use to speak into your life today. And I believe that. How many of you believe that this morning? Will you open your heart right now? Father, we open our hearts right now to what you have to say to us today. Lord, use these speakers. Speak to us individually today, each of us. We want to hear from you. And so we open our hearts, and it's in your name we pray. And everyone said, amen.
I only have 6 minutes, so this is going to go fast. All right. I started going to church Sunday mornings consistently when I was 16 years old. I'd been going to youth previously, but I got to 16 and was like, I need to start going to church. So I started going to real church. I noticed some of the strangest things. Number one, people lifted their hands during live music. Not so much people. I knew that. I had gone to youth long enough. I recognized teenagers did that. Adults doing it was weird. Number two, a lot of old people shook my hand. I don't know. I've never shaken hands with people so much in my life before, when I started coming to church. It was very odd to me, not having been in church. In youth, you hugged, you high-fived, you did other stuff. No one showed up when service actually started. I did, because that's what you're supposed to do. That's what I had done the rest of my... It's universal, too. It's not just the church I grew up in, Harvest. But the strangest thing to me was what happened whenever I was in the restroom. Quick reminder, I am the youth pastor. There has to be some bathroom humor. It's just how it works. In the men's restroom, men would go to wash their hands. They would wash their hands, grab paper towel, dry their hands, and then proceed to wipe down the restroom counter. This needs a wipe down right now. They would throw their paper towel away and then leave. And I'd watch this, standing in the restroom, very awkwardly. Men looked at me weird because I was just standing there watching it happen. They would get soap, wash their hands, grab some paper towel, dry, wipe the counter, throw it in the trash, and leave. Man after man after man. They didn't have a title. There was no paid position. Nobody asked them to do it. There wasn't a sign that said, hey, wipe down the counters after you're done using the sink. They knew there was a team of cleaners coming in on Monday. When we think about this idea of all in, so often we look at it as this huge, giant vision that'll take so much more than you or I have to offer, intimidating us from the normal pieces we're supposed to take. But big vision isn't completed all at once. It takes regular, daily, disciplined steps. Luke 16:10, it says, if you are faithful in the little things, you will be faithful in the large ones. But if you are dishonest in the little things, you won't be honest with the greater responsibilities. And if you're untrustworthy about worldly wealth, who will trust you with the true riches of heaven? If you're not faithful with other people's things, why should you be trusted with things of your own? And it's weird to think of my church's restroom counter as something small to be faithful in, but I watched it play out for years as other men also saw others washing the counter, and I found myself picking up the paper towel, washing the restroom counter, and being a part of it as well. It's interesting how our faithfulness in something so small can influence others in such a large way. So what do you consider little things? I've worked with and for so many people who consider so many little things to be under them. And I love walking the parking lot with Pastor Jason because without fail, our parking lot ends up better than he found it. Normally, it's just a piece of trash. One time, it was actually some new basketball hoops. I've been reading this book to start the year. It's called QBQ, Question Behind the Question. I've read it a ton. I love it. It's by John G. Miller. Go and read it. It's a short read. It's easy. He has this story in the first chapter, and this story is probably going to make me go over in my time, but it's so good. He writes, John Miller writes, it was a beautiful day when I stopped in the Rock Bottom restaurant for a quick lunch. The place was jammed. I didn't have much time, so I was happy to grab the one stool they had available available at the bar. A few minutes after I sat down, a young man carrying a tray full of dirty dishes hurried by on his way to the kitchen. Out of the corner of his eye, he noticed me, stopped, came back and said, "Sir, have you been helped?" "No, I haven't," I said, "and I'm in a bit of a hurry, but all I really want is a salad and maybe a couple of rolls." "I can get that for you, sir. Would you like anything to drink?" "I'll have a Diet Coke, please." "Oh, I'm sorry, sir. We have Pepsi products. Would that be all right?" "Ah, no, thanks," I said with a smile. "I'll just have water with lemon, please." "Great, I'll be back." He disappeared. Moments later, he returned with salad, rolls, and the water. I thanked him, and he was quickly gone again, leaving me to enjoy my meal, a satisfied customer. Suddenly, there was a blur of activity off to my left. The wind of enthusiasm blew behind me, and then over my right shoulder, you guessed it, the long arm of service delivered a 21-bottle, frosty on the outside, cold on the inside of, you guessed it, a Diet Coke. "Wow," I said, "thank you." "You're welcome," he said with a smile and hurried off again. My first thought was, hire this man. Talk about going the extra mile. He was clearly not your average employee. And the more I thought about the outstanding thing he had just done, the more I wanted to talk to him. So as soon as I could, I got his attention and I waved him over. "Excuse me, I thought you didn't sell Coke," I said. "That's right, sir, we don't." "Well, where did this come from?" "The grocery store around the corner. I was taken aback. "Who paid for it?" I asked. "I did, sir, just a dollar." But by then, I was thinking profound and professional thoughts like, "Cool!" But what I said was, "Come on, you've been awfully busy. How did you have time to go get it?" Smiling and seemingly growing taller before my eyes, he said, "I didn't, sir. I sent my manager." "I have time. This is amazing." All in can seem like such a monumental task. How in the world can I be all in with all the parts of my incredibly busy and crazy life? This story, this idea, the men's restroom remind me of this question. How do you eat an elephant? One bite at a time. Thank you.
It usually takes me like 6 minutes to let my nerves settle and to just kind of like settle in for this. So this might be a little awkward and weird for myself. So my question for you today is there anything in your life, anything that you ever have gone all in on? Sit back and think about it. What about your marriage? Have you gone all in on your marriage? What about other relationships, relationships with your children, relationships with your parents? What about your job? Are you so committed that you are all in? What about your hobbies? And many, many times we can find ourselves going all in on sin. If we look back at our lives, the things that we have been willing to go all in on have always been me focused. If it's all about me, I can go all in. If we struggle with going all in with relationships with the people that we can see and feel and hear, we have a hard time going all in with God as well. So what are some reasons that we don't go all in? Do we spread ourselves too thin? We're busy doing so many things, even though they're good things, they're churchy things. Are we distracted? What is it that we fear about going all in? Trust issues? Sometimes we don't even know what that looks like. What does it look like to go all in? Maybe we have expectations that have gone unmet. The one important thing for myself is, if I were to go all in, I would have to give up control. And we all like control. There's also this thing called comparison that keeps us from going all in. So the verse I want to focus on today is from Luke 9, verse 62. It's the last verse in that chapter. He says, "But Jesus said to him, 'No one having put his hand to the plow and looking back is fit for the kingdom of God.'" And that's how he ends the chapter. And then chapter 10 starts with 70 other people he found that were willing to go all in, and he trains them to be disciples. That was his response to the excuses that all those men had given them. "Wait, I have to go and bury the dead. Wait, I have to go and say goodbye to my family." He said, "You're not fit. You are not fit for the kingdom of God if you continue looking back." So what are you looking back at? Are you looking back at the offenses you've collected in your life, which leads to unforgiveness and bitterness and resentment? Is it the guilt that you have because of who you were before Christ? I feel guilty for the parent I was before Christ. I feel guilty about the person I was before Christ. Rejection? Are you holding on to sin? What about those unhealthy relationships that you find yourself in? Are you looking back at your plans and your desires instead of the ones God have for you? Are you focused on the promises that have not yet been fulfilled and the prayers that have not been answered? And what about the disappointments? Maybe you're looking back at the way things used to be and you think that you want to continue going in that path. So how do we not look back and how do we move forward? When continuing in that verse, Jesus focuses on the truth that service for his kingdom demands undivided attention. So what he means by not being fit for the kingdom is that a half-hearted discipleship eliminates one from God's maximum use. You have to quit looking back. If you want to become fit for his kingdom, you have to quit looking back. So looking back further in Luke chapter 9, verse 23, he says, if any of you want to walk my path, you're going to have to deny yourself. You'll have to take up your cross every day and follow me. So let's focus on the deny yourself part of it. We are going to have to deny ourselves daily. We are going to have to give up our selfish, personal ambition and our natural self-centeredness if we want to go all in our relationship with Christ. So look back in your life. What is it that you need to deny yourself of? Where are you wasting your time? In our house with three boys, we have a lot of wasted time on electronics. I hate electronics, but I'm constantly saying, find something else to do. Are you being passive? Are you sleeping in? Are you being lazy? Are you focusing on the gossip or lying? What pleasures are you wanting to keep around because you don't want to not deny yourself? Maybe you need to deny yourself of plans and ideas so that you can focus on what God has for you. If you want to go all in to be fit for God's kingdom, you're going to have to deny yourself daily. So I want to encourage you over the next couple of weeks during fasting, focus on those three questions. What am I doing that's keeping me from going all in? What do I keep looking back at and not letting go of? And what is it that I honestly need to deny myself of? And if you're really brave, ask those around you. I know they'll be able to tell you what they see in your life that is keeping you back from going all in God. And the Holy Spirit is there to trust you or to show you as well. So thank you.
Feels good. All right, don't start my time yet. I'm going to take a little second just since Pastor Jason brought it up to plug the men's group. So I see a lot of men in here. So Wednesday nights at Dion's at 6 p.m. Don't start my time yet. Okay. There we go. Okay. Hello and happy New Year, Harvest. My name is Mitchell Kennedy. I'm very excited to be up here and have the opportunity to share with you what God has put on my heart. First, I need some participation. There you go. I like it. I'm going to need you guys to shout back at me the first thing that comes to mind when I say the following phrase. Are you guys ready? No, you're not ready. I need attention. All right. Just do it. Nike. Very good. Indeed, that is the answer I was looking for. Nike has ingrained this into most of our heads through marketing campaigns for a very long time now. The Nike Just Do It campaign launched in 1988. Arguably, it sent Nike on a trajectory that saved the brand itself. Fast forward to 2018, 30 years later, Nike has since added to the Just Do It coin phrase with a new statement. That statement, believe in something, even if it means sacrificing everything. Why are we willing to follow a company that says just do it, and we do? Or can say believe in something, even if it means sacrificing everything? When often that belief that they are stating you should sacrifice for is more than likely temporary and not something that's eternal. There is something we can learn from these two statements, but they are going to require a different approach. We need to replace just do it with all in. I would say that today, God is looking for us to say, okay, God, I'm all in. Use me for your will. Less of me and more of you. The second portion we need to replace, believe in something, with believe in Jesus, even if it means sacrificing everything. God, I no longer just want a savior, but a life changer. Another difference is that these two statements cannot exist on their own. You may believe in God, however, are not willing to sacrifice everything. This looks like when we want a relationship with God to save us from our sins, but does not require any action or change on our part. We want God to show up in our times of need, but to not interfere with our lives otherwise. If this is the case, then I would say that you are not all in. Being all in is going to require sacrifice. That sacrifice comes from belief. Belief that Jesus is God, that his promises indeed are true, and he is our Lord and Savior. I want to give you an example of what this looks like. I'm going to read from the book of Matthew chapter 8, verses 5 through 13. When Jesus had entered Capernaum, a centurion came to him, asking for help. Lord, he said, my servant lies at home paralyzed, suffering terribly. Jesus said to him, shall I come and heal him? The centurion replied, Lord, I do not deserve to have you come under my roof. But just say the word and my servant will be healed. For I myself am a man under authority with soldiers under me. I tell this one, go, and he goes. And that one, come, and he comes. I say to my servant, do this, and he does it. When Jesus heard this, he was amazed and said to those following him, truly, I tell you, I have not found anyone in Israel with such great faith. I say to you that many will come from the east and the west and will take their places at the feast with Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob in the kingdom of heaven. But the subjects of the kingdom will be thrown outside into the darkness where there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Then Jesus said to the centurion, go, let it be done just as you believed it would. And his servant was healed at that moment. In verse 10, it says Jesus was amazed in reference to the centurion's faith. The word used here for amazed in Greek is thaumazdo, which we translate as marveled or amazed. How many of you would like to have our Lord and Savior, when describing your faith, to say that it amazed or marveled him? This word is only used one other time in the entire Bible, which is found in Mark 6:6, and not in a good context. Jesus had returned to his hometown of Nazareth, accompanied with his disciples, and after teaching in the synagogue, was amazed by their lack of faith. If you don't know, a centurion was a Roman soldier with many under his command. At the time of Jesus, most, if not all, Romans were polytheists, meaning the belief in multiple gods. The fact that he not just knew of, but believed in and had faith in Jesus is remarkable. This centurion was all in. Amongst his people, if his faith in Jesus was discovered, his position in the Roman Empire, even his life, could have been over. This is what believing in Jesus, even if it means sacrificing everything, looks like. Lastly, I'd like to look at the phrase all in again. You see, for me, while praying about this, the first thing that came to my mind was this last Thanksgiving in Santa Cruz in my father-in-law's house playing poker. I know, very spiritual. For my wife's family, this is a rite of passage. Every time the entire family gets together, the adults are up all night playing cards. Nothing too serious money-wise, mostly played with nickels, dimes, quarters, maybe a dollar chip here or there. My family urged me to play, and reluctantly, I finally agreed. I say reluctantly because, well, I play to win, and so it's usually go big or go home. Anyhow, I sat down, and three hands in, I felt like I had a good hand. I quickly read the players and decided my bet, I would go all in. Betting $15, which was all the money I had. All in to me means I think I can't be beat. I have something in my possession that I believe will cause me to win. I share this story with you today, not to simply talk about cards, but to illustrate that when we give our lives to Jesus and go all in, unlike in cards where it is up to chance, we cannot be beat. He is greater than any enemy or force that can come against us. Life change and miracles can happen when we go all in. The centurion knew this and he experienced a miracle that day. So I leave you today, 40 seconds over, asking, will you go all in? Will you believe in Jesus, even if it means sacrificing everything?
How y'all doing today? Happy New Year, everybody. Say, like Mitch, don't start my time yet. In fact, start his 40 seconds over and I'll use it. So, I just, real quick, before I start my time, this is amazing the way God does this stuff, right? It's like all of us are told to say something. And I was going to go a different direction. I was going to go on resistance of all in. But LaDon pretty much said that. And I was like, just praying, Lord, what do you want? So he gave me this, and now you can start it. So anytime I get a sermon or something all in, I have to define my terms, right? So I defined, I looked up, asked old Google and said, what's the deal? And I'm shaking because of coffee, not because I'm nervous. But to be the definition of all in is to be fully committed to a task or endeavor, to give or be prepared to give all of one's energy and resources towards something. Okay, so my question to you today is, what are you all into, right? Are you putting all your energy and resources into the passions and dreams that God has been giving you? Or are you going through the motions day in and day out? Did you, like other people somewhere down the line, settle and stop pursuing your dreams? Maybe you're like this lady who I just happened to see. It was a story or watching this lady, and she, long story short, she got a bunch of money. And they asked her, what are you going to do with all this money? She says, I'm giving it to a charity that I work at for abused horses that get adopted, right? And I kind of smirked under my own breath. I'm watching TV, and I laughed, and I was like, who in the world? What's the deal? Well, the Lord spoke to me and set me straight. He said, Anthony, I have somebody to care for everything on this earth if they would just pursue their passions. So now I want to ask you, ask yourself this question, and are you fulfilling your purpose? Are you all in the passions that God has placed in you, or are you doing somebody else's job? Do you live your life waiting for Friday to come just so you can experience a taste of freedom? If this is you, I urge you to find your passion. Maybe the same mindset that caused you to settle in the first place still limits you today. Maybe you're saying it right now. It's too late. I'm too old. I don't have the means. Or whatever reason you're using that keeps you from pursuing your purpose. So knowing I was going to speak this week on All In, I used some family connections, and I reach out to the world's leading expert on living a happy life for you guys today. You may have heard of him on social media. He holds master's degrees in all five sciences. He speaks multiple languages, and he has helped thousands of people achieve their life dreams. People like comedian Steve Harvey, athlete Tim Tebow, singing artist Carrie Underwood, to name a few. And as I was speaking with him, I could feel him light up because, you see, his passion is helping others succeed. And then he asked me if he could just say something to the congregation. And I was like, sure, you're the man, right? So he wrote you guys a letter that I have for you today. And he told me in this letter, his heart, this is where his heart is. And he said, if they listen to it, there's no way anybody that they set their mind to can fail at this. So I'm going to read you his letter right now. And he said to put your name in this blank so it's personalized, right? My dearest, whoever you are, it's come to my attention that you may need a small reminder of how important it is for one to live in their specific purpose. You can say that it's the difference of life and death, sorrow and happiness. I want you to know it's never too late to fulfill your purpose, because before you were born, you were created with a specific design. You see, you have been given everything you need here on this earth. I promise you that you can achieve whatever you desire and that whatever you put your hand to will prosper. I also know the importance of having a purpose in this world. And through my life's work, you now have an opportunity to achieve your dreams. How do you say? Simple, by accepting my all-in challenge. By accepting my challenge, you have my word, and I'll give it to you in writing, that I will do the following. I will pay all the expenses that are needed to achieve said challenge. You will have all and any legal counsel and field experts pertaining to your challenge at your disposal. And while participating in this challenge, all living expenses, housing, food, and travel will be covered. Here it is, the all-in challenge. First, you have to identify what you're passionate about, and that will point you to your purpose. Second, be willing to give all your energy to it. That's it. It's that simple. And I know if you accept this challenge, you will succeed because you are more than a conqueror. And I have given you power and authority. Nothing is impossible for you. And if you ever start feeling scared and alone during this challenge, know that I will never leave you or forsake you. With much love and always faithful, God. That's it.
Good morning. All right. All right. You ready, Billy? Only get half the time, so let's do this. So I'm sure most of you consider yourself to be pretty good Christians, you know, decent people. You know, you follow most of the commandments and rules. You know, you don't go to Best Buy and steal the newest iPhone or whatever, or, you know, walk out with the TV, or you don't go rob a bank or kill anyone, hopefully. Is it enough? Is it enough to just go through the motions and just follow the rules and commandments? Is that all that God asks of us? And in Matthew chapter 19, there's a story of a man who goes up to Jesus and he says, what must I do to get an eternal life? And with this question, Jesus replies, keep the commandments. And then he starts to list some of them, like don't steal, don't murder, honor your mother and father. I'm pretty good with that one. I think my parents would agree. Do you agree, Dad? Yeah? Good. All right. So, you know, he goes, love your neighbor and don't give false testimony. And then in verse 20 it says, all of these I have kept, the young man said. What do I still lack? And Jesus answered, if you want to be perfect, go sell all your possessions and give to the poor. You will have treasure in heaven. And even though the man followed all the commandments and he still lacks something because Jesus wanted him to go sell all his possessions, right? And give to the poor. And it would be really hard to give up all your possessions, don't you think? Would you guys give up all your possessions? Like everything? And I lost my place. Good. That's great. But Jesus doesn't do this to make our life hard. He wants us to give up the things that take up our time, and he wants us to give us the things that we don't want to give up and that hold us back from our relationship with him. And now I'm pretty sure we all have one thing that holds us back. You know, we all have this thing that we don't want to give to him. I'll give you this, but I'm not going to give you that. That's not what I don't want to do that. And maybe you help others and you give and you serve. So think about that one thing that's holding you back, right? Everyone, let's give a second moment of silence. Okay. All right. Now, maybe this thing for me is TV. I watch a lot of TV, big TV fan. And this thing for you could be Instagram, Bella, Facebook, YouTube, giving your tithe or trusting God. Or even like music, like you can be listening to music on your way to work and, you know, you're yelling at the person in front of you for going too slow. And instead of, you know, yelling and listening to your tunes, Dad, you can pray and maybe be a little more calm. So in 2020, let's go all in and give the part that we are holding, that is holding us back from God. And have a nice day.
Oh, shoot. How did I do this? All right. I got the mic. Oh, no. Pastor Tyler's already scared. All right. I'm going to go ahead and pray for like 2 seconds because honestly, being up here is scary if you don't take a second to pray. So I'm going to pray. Lord, help me speak what you want me to speak. I pray for everyone in this room. I pray that you just open our hearts. I thank you so much for everyone. Amen. And now I can begin to speak normally. Now, don't start my time because I also have something to say that I didn't plan on saying, but I'm going to say it anyways because Pastor Jason gave me the mic so I can. This whole prayer thing, this month we're supposed to be praying a lot, right? That's the deal, right? Something I got in my heart, learned for our youth group specifically, but I think it's also for our church, is if we're going to grow in our strength and if we're going to grow in numbers and grow it all, we better grow an equal amount spiritually, if not more. So that prayer is so important. Our youth students, we have pre-service prayer. That prayer is what's going to grow you, what's going to cause that spiritual growth, but also growth in numbers. All right. Now I'm going to start the message thing. Okay. All my points start with to go all in. Okay, so that's pretty cool. The first one is to go all in, know your foundation. Now, when I hear all in, I think maybe like skydiving. And I think if you don't know your foundation, it's like skydiving out of a plane without a parachute. So we probably need the parachute, right? Our parachute, our foundation, our basics is that we were designed to be with God. Adam and Eve were meant to be in that garden with God in the vicinity of the guy who created them, their father, and be like, yo, Lord, what does this mean? And we're supposed to conversate with him and talk to him and be in his space and be close to him. You were designed that way. I was designed that way. I know it. The second part of that foundation is that that same guy that you were designed to be with made it possible that you could, because his son came down, right? You guys know this, you're Christians, you know. Jesus made the ultimate sacrifice. He died and resurrected because he's amazing. That's my first point. That's your basics. That's your foundation. Remember that for the next 2020. I'm walking back and forth a lot. My second point here is to go all in, make space. Let me tell you something. Our God is not forceful. He's not going to force anything on you that you're not willing to take. Now, a lot of us have been going to church a lot. I've been going since I was like 0 years old. So I know you go to church every Sunday and you get filled up. You ask, Lord, fill me up. Tell me more. And I picture this water bottle. It's a glass water bottle. And God's given us that little bit of living water. He gives us more. He gives us more. But that water bottle's not bottomless. You got to take some of that living water and give it to someone else. You got to say, here. Oh, hi. You got to say, here. Here's this living water. And make disciples, right? And then you're going to have some more space in your heart. And that's when God's going to come through with the fire hose and be like, here's some more information. You're like, yes, Lord, you are so good. So that's my second point. It's to go all in, make space. Y'all want to say it? To go all in. That's right. All right. Let's see. Next point. I changed my next point two minutes ago. So, you know, to go all in. Hey, Pastor Jason, to go all in, you're going to be out of your comfort zone. That's scary. When I think of being out of your comfort zone, I think of Abraham, known as the dude that really helped out Israel. God goes, hey man, you're like a normal dude, but I don't want you to stay at your home that you've known for all your life. I want you to get out of there and go and save Israel. He's like, what? And this, Abram is so out of his comfort zone. My last point is to go all in, you got to be honest with God. Now listen, when you're out of your comfort zone, that's when you got to, let's see, I wrote it down real nice and well. Going all in requires being out of your comfort zone. And being out of your comfort zone requires being honest with God. If we're really going to go in, if we're really going to do it this year, we're going to be uncomfortable. Ew. Wow, that's really loud. We're going to be uncomfortable. But guess what? You take the stuff you're uncomfortable about, and you be brutally honest about it with God. Is that really my time? Okay, that's what I thought. I was like, I don't have that much time. And then the last one, to go all in, you got to go with God. That's constantly who we got to lean on. When God said, Abram, go, he didn't say, Abram, go and be on your own. He said, Abram, go and I will be with you. I will do it. I will make this path straight. Okay? It's a parachute saving you from the ground, not your power. It's our foundations. Let me see. Make sure I'm not forgetting anything. Anyways, thank you guys so much, and have an amazing new year. And real quick, say, to go all in, know your foundation. To go all in. Y'all are pretty great. Okay, I'm going to pass the mic to Jerry.
Hello, my name is Jerry. Don't start my time. 1:30. What is that? Thank you. Being the oldest, I have rights. Okay. We are so glad that the Lord has led us to Harvest Church. We weren't. We moved here about 8 months ago. And just praying what the Lord wants us to do. As Pastor mentioned, I've been in ministry 50 years. I was looking at Joseph and Millie, and I thought, this reminds me of me. My first sermon I preached was about 4 minutes long. I was given more time than that, but that's all I had to say. And so that was it. Somebody said, how can you be in the ministry 50 years? You start early. Start early. That's all it is. But we love this church, and we're so glad for Pastor Jason and all the team here. They're blessed. Have blessed our lives, and so we're excited what God is doing. And so we'll talk more about that as we go through the year. And just glad to be part of what the Lord is doing here at Harvest, you know, here in Albuquerque. So we're talking about all in living, and so I was listening. The problem of going last in a scenario like this is, probably everything you want to say will already have been said before you get up. So I've already scratched stuff off here. I'm thinking, okay, Lord, quick. I'm not. I like to plan a little better. But I had a scripture, and I just want to share this with you. It really kind of sums up this and a couple of thoughts that the Lord gave me. John chapter 6. Verses 66 through 69, he says, from that time, there was a situation that happened. Won't go into all of that. You can read that. From that time, many of his disciples went back and walked no more with him. And Jesus said unto the 12, the guys that had been with him the longest, will you also go away? And then Simon Peter answered him, and Simon answered for everybody. He said, Lord, to whom shall we go? For you have the words of eternal life, and we believe that you are and are sure that you are the Christ, the Son of the living God. All of the disciples that went into the early church, they were all in. The disciples that followed Jesus, and there was certainly more than 12. There were 12 that he on purpose pulled out to found the church. But all of the disciples, those that followed Jesus, they heard the same objections. They heard the same questions. They heard the same, all the things that were said about Jesus and all the reasons why he couldn't be who he said he was. But they knew something that caused them to follow him. And for them to follow him, they had to be all in. And what they learned was a couple of things here is they were allowing God to be first place in their life. Being all in is allowing God to be first place in our lives, because something will always compete with that position. If I determine to make God first place in my life above everything, it's not to the exclusion of the important things. It's not the exclusion of our family or exclusion of our jobs, all of that. It's simply saying, God, I'm going to put you first in everything that I do. Something will always compete with that. But if I'm all in, I will constantly reshuffle, because something will want to climb over what I've said. God, I'm going to make you first. There'll be something that'll try to take that position, and I have to put it back in its place, not allowing anything to compete with that. The second thing is learning to hear and listening to the voice of God. Making sure that what I am listening to, if I am all in, I have determined and made up my mind, this is the voice I'm going to hear. This is the voice I'm going to follow. Jesus said, my sheep know my voice. They know my voice and they follow. Making sure all in will require me to listen to the voice of God and be willing to follow that wherever it goes. Living all in will cause me to live a life that matters. I will make the most of this one life that I've been given. I'm 68 years old, and I'm like Mickey Mantle. If I knew I was going to live this long, I would have taken better care of myself. Looking back is great, but understanding that wherever we are in life, whatever our situation is, God is calling us to make the most of where we are right now so that our life will matter. All of our lives count, because in that, the second part of that is, if I live on purpose and I live all in, I will invest in others. The greatest thing that we do is serve one another. All through the Bible, all through the New Testament, one another, love one another, serve one another. We care for one another, all of those things. That's what makes church life. That's what I love about our church. I love that there's a sense of community, the sense of family, that people care about you and what's going on in your life. And that's a true statement. But that's part of being all in. We can stand back and live on the edge and never commit wholly to anything, but that's not living, that's existing. Being all in, and I changed this because LaDon talked about never turning back, so I had to scratch that one out. So I changed it. All in means that we are becoming fanatical. We don't like that word because fanatical and being fanatic sometimes has a bad connotation to it. But I love what Churchill said. A fanatic is someone that you can't change their mind and they won't change the subject. Think about that. What would the world look like as believers and all in the things of God if we simply would have that and say, you're not going to change my mind? And I will not change the subject. If you want to bring a group, if you're in a secular setting, just start talking about Jesus. You will empty the room. Most of the time, it'll get really quiet. You can hear the crickets. Why? Because the fanatic, again, is someone that you can't change their mind, and they won't change the subject. My challenge to all of us is that we live all in, allowing God to use us as we are all in what He has for us to do and what He wants us to be. And I yield the rest of my time to Pastor.
Thank you for those 7 seconds. I appreciate that. Don't start my time yet. Don't start my time. Golly, give these guys time and they want more, right? Did you enjoy that? How many of you, God spoke something to you through one of those or more of those speakers? Anyone? I love this. It's always interesting as we talk to the various speakers each year, and we don't give them much direction on purpose because I want the Lord to speak through them in a unique way. Let me just remind you, I took notes. I took like 6 pages of notes, and I want to remind you of just a couple of things that I heard, and then we're gonna close in a prayer, and I'm gonna ask you to commit to going all in this year, all in for Jesus, all in for your family, all in for your church, all in for your city, and I'm gonna ask you to do that. I love what I heard today through each of these. I heard a lot about purpose. Did you hear a lot about purpose? That all in is living on purpose. I love how Jerry reminded us. I'm going to go backwards in the order. He reminded us, I will invest in others. All in people invest in others. Millie, thank you for reminding us of a lot of things, but what caught my ear was to make space. I was challenged in that, to make space for more of what God has. I love Joseph, how you started by asking us, is it enough to be good? Of course, we know there's no such thing as good, but is it enough to be moral? And then you challenge us, what one thing might be holding you back this year? I think that's a great question for us. Anthony, passion will identify purpose and then give that purpose everything. The all-in challenge backed by God, right? I'm as you start started your letter. I'm like, who in the world is writing us this letter, you know? And then all the guarantees, he's going to pay for it, all right? What one thing can we give our everything to? Mitch, I don't regret giving you the opportunity. Thank you for what you shared with us. I love the idea that when you go all in with God, we cannot be beaten. Isn't that amazing? Like, you're holding the best hand. You cannot be beaten. We have something in our possession that will cause us to win. LaDon asked three questions, and I'll ask just the hardest one, I think. What do I need to deny from myself? That's a tough question, right? That's an all-in question. If I'm going to go all-in, what is it going to cost me? And then Pastor Tyler began, and this is where we'll end, with this idea. Big vision doesn't happen all at once. It happens one small decision at a time. I just wanted to remind you of that because all in feels so big, right? So daunting. But I think many of these kept bringing us back to, but what's the one thing, right? What's the one question? What's the one purpose? What's the one? And I don't know which one spoke to you today. I don't know what your personal response needs to be to that. But I'm going to ask you to pray a prayer today to go all in. How many of you will do that? How many of you will go all in this year? Would you just stand with me, everyone? Would you just stand? We're gonna pray this prayer. What a way to start the year off, huh? We're gonna go all in. You know what I believe as we go all in, that Jesus is gonna show off. Do you believe that? He's gonna show off in our city. He's gonna show off in our church. He's gonna show off in your family. He's going to show off as we go all in. Would you just join me in committing right now, Father? We just, on this first Sunday of 2020, a whole bunch of us are saying, we're all in. We're all in for you and your kingdom and your purposes. Lord, today, many of us are making one small decision that I believe will change the trajectory of our families, of our marriages, of our community, of our church, and even of our city. Lord, today, as we make that small decision, we're asking you for help. Lord, this year we want to live intentionally. We want to live with purpose. We want to live the way that you created us to live. Lord, as a church, we're going all in for this city that we believe you love so much. We're asking you this year to bring transformation to Albuquerque, spiritual transformation to Albuquerque. We're asking you, Lord, to equip your body all across this city to go all in. Lord, we're saying we're going all in today in all of our relationships. Lord, we go all in our marriages. We go all in for our kids. We go all in for one another. And Lord, as we do that, there is great anticipation for what you are going to do. And Lord, we say this year, build your kingdom here. Lord, build your kingdom here in our hearts, in our church, in our city. Lord, build your kingdom. Have your way, and we'll go all in. And it's in Jesus' name we pray. And all God's people said, amen. Harvest, happy new year. As you're leaving today, may the Lord bless you, keep you, cause his face to shine upon you, give you grace now and forever. Harvest, go be the church.
Thank you for listening to the Harvest Fellowship podcast. For more information, visit harvestabq.org.